Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and this is the Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, the place where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and vibrant life. Cue music.
Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, Episode 19.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, your Boomer host and creator of the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast, and I want to introduce you to this week's special guest, David Rubin. He is an independent insurance broker, and he happens to be a personal friend of mine who has graciously agreed to come on the show today. This is a discussion about insurance, and David and I want to make sure that you know this is not an advertisement for any particular product. In any way, what we're going to be talking about is the fact that boomers are the first generation to be financial providers of both their parents and their children simultaneously in some cases, right? We're the sandwich generation. So boomers will have dependents at both ends of the life cycle, and life insurance is something that needs to be planned for, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Prior to becoming an independent insurance broker, David worked for two of the largest life insurers in the country, New England Financial and Northwestern Mutual. He is now on his own and can offer an impartial view of the life insurance options in the market. His practice typically works with average middle-class families, and he does not get involved in issues of the very wealthy, as they have their own unique financial needs. The vast majority of his clients come from two-income households with aging parents and children in or approaching college. And that's me. And David is my personal insurance agent, which is why he agreed to come on the show and help us out. David lives in Carmel, New York, which is about 30 miles north of me and 60 miles north of Manhattan. He has a wife, Anne, and three boys, like I do, although I think I'm a few years ahead of you. Your oldest is in freshman in college, right?
Correct.
And then you have a sophomore in high school and a seventh grader. My youngest is a sophomore in high school, and I have a freshman in college and a senior in college. So I'm just one kid ahead of you, David. And welcome to Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.
No, thank you for having me. It was a great introduction and very, very complete introduction. I think I'm done here.
No way. And I did give people a pretty good overview. If there's anything that you would like to add, please do. And by all means, if you too are a boomer, you can either admit or deny that. And I'm not going to hold it against you either way, David.
No, I'm absolutely a boomer, born in 1962. So the tail end, but still a boomer indeed. And some of the unique things about our generation is, and this, you mentioned this before, is the term the sandwich generation. And why is that? How did that happen? So there's two things going on. One of them is a change in demographic habits, where our parents had children earlier in life than we did.
Right.
And we're having children later in life than we did. So our parents are closer in age to us. Our children are younger in age than your parents' children, if you follow what I'm saying.
Right, by comparison, yeah, absolutely. And that puts us, that's just one of the things that makes us unique as boomers. There are a lot of things that make us unique.
But,
so you are a boomer, and like me, we're of a similar age, so we've spent a lot of time in life working with and for other boomers because we're such a large generation. But how have you personally found it to be different working with boomers, if at all?
Well, in my industry, in the insurance and even the financial advisor industry in general, it's normal to work with folks who are your own age. That's like insurance 101 when you graduate insurance school. So who do you call? You call people of similar age and demographics. So it's more unusual for me to not work with a boomer, where, someone who might be born in the 80s or 90s. Yes, people who are born in the 90s actually, are off on their own and need financial help. So it's more normal for me to work with boomers, and I can identify with them, having three kids, having to deal with health insurance and owning an independent business and worrying about student loans and all that sort of thing. So
yeah, we're seeing it from both ends. Yep. So what are your top three tips that you would offer other boomers regarding life insurance is what we're going to talk about specifically? Is that correct?
We're going to specifically talk about life insurance, and we're going to talk about the permanent variety.
Okay.
It's insurance that does not end. It's enforced for your entire life as long as you keep paying for it, versus a term insurance policy, which may be a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year agreement with an insurance company. So a 20-year term insurance policy will end, and a permanent insurance policy will, as long as you pay the bill, last until you aren't around anymore.
Right. Okay, so that's the subject that we're going to be talking about is these forms of life insurance. So my question to you was, what are your top three tips regarding life insurance that we should be looking out for now?
Okay, well, I'll answer that question. The number one tip is to purchase it. And purchase it when you're young and healthy. Because you're never going to get younger, and most likely you're never going to get healthier than you are today.
That's it. How young would you say when someone has an income?
Well, you can buy, I sell insurance policies to, you know, to kids who are 6 months old, but that's a different conversation.
Right, okay.
People who start to have a family start to think about life insurance. And then they're given two options, assuming that they want life insurance. The term variety, which is inexpensive, great value, great deal. It's like, you know, renting an apartment versus the whole life, which is expensive. It's like buying a house. So renting versus buying, renting life insurance or owning life insurance.
Right.
But whole life insurance is the only insurance product you can buy that will definitely pay out. Because no matter how good medical science is, eventually we all die. And if this life insurance policy is still in force when you die, it will pay your beneficiaries or your estate or your designees a death benefit.
Right. Okay. So first tip was to buy it. And while you were talking, it actually reminded me of something. You said once you have a family, you definitely should be getting life insurance. But we just discussed the fact that you and I waited longer than our parents did to have kids. All right. So I was 29, rapidly approaching 30 when I had my first child. I could have had life insurance for all those years from the time I got out of college and was gainfully employed, you know, for 8 years or whatever it was before that.
And there would have been a perfectly good rationale to have it. Perhaps you had a mortgage. Perhaps you were a co-signer on a student loan and your parents or the other co-signers.
But if none of those conditions existed, I don't need life insurance?
Well, you know, you don't need life insurance with a capital N, but based on maybe the results of this discussion, someone who's younger would say, you know what, I will get it now, while I'm younger, while I'm healthier, while it's less expensive. And I know someday I'm going to have a family, someday I'm going to have a mortgage, someday I'm going to have a business, and you know what? If none of those things ever pan out, if you never have dependents or a need for dependent, whole life insurance has other values. For example, you may pass away and donate a large sum to your school or to a religious organization or some other charitable organization that you wouldn't be able to do had you not had a life insurance policy in your older age.
Right. Okay. All right. So I'm sorry I interrupted you during the three tips. So the first one was to make sure you buy.
Yeah.
Your life insurance. What's the second tip?
Well, the second tip would be to buy one with lots of bells and whistles. For example, one bell and whistle is a long-term care insurance rider. So, you know, off topic a little bit, but these whole life policies can be used for your elder care, for your nursing home needs. And again, off topic, that's a whole nother podcast.
Right. Yeah.
These insurance policies do more than just pay a death benefit. They can pay long-term care expenses.
Okay.
They can supply a cash value for short-term cash needs because these whole life policies, many of them have a savings component. When that savings amount gets high enough, you can borrow that money for an emergency loan. You know, you get the cash in 2 days. You don't need to go to the bank. You don't need to open a new credit card. So, you know, there are lots of other working parts that you need to be familiar with and shop around a little bit for these bells and whistles and riders.
Okay. All right. I get it. And number three, what's the third tip?
Is to purchase a whole life insurance company from a mutual company. A mutual company is owned by its policyholders, and therefore you get higher dividends and higher returns, more accelerated death features, versus a stock company, which not only has to disperse income to its policyholders, because it does, but also to uninterested shareholders. Funds that own stock in, you know, insurance companies, but you got to pay that dividend to keep your stock price up. Mutual life insurance companies don't care about their stock price.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that we had these two different entities going on. The insurance companies that are mutual, do they always have mutual in the name?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a tip there for people. If you want to know if the insurance company you're thinking about is one of these mutual companies that David is suggesting, it'll be in their name. Now I understand why it's in the name. That I was clueless about that before. That's very interesting. Okay. So now let's talk about the challenges or concerns. What is the biggest challenge or obstacle or concern that you see boomers having as they experience now? Either they already own a life insurance policy or they're now trying to get a life insurance policy.
Well, you know, the whole life insurance policies that I'm talking about might be 10 times more expensive than a term policy.
Okay.
Something that might cost $1,000.
Wait, no matter how old you are, like if I'm 20 versus I'm 60, it's still going to be a... Okay.
You know, if you're 30 and you're looking at a term policy and you're 30 looking at a whole life policy, you're talking about maybe... instead of paying $1,000 a year, you might be paying $10,000 a year.
Okay.
The same death benefit.
Okay.
So $1 million policy at age 30 for a 20-year term might be $1,000 a year, very reasonable, you know, and a very good value for what it's providing.
Right.
Versus $10,000, and it's like, ouch.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted that, you know, Acura instead of the Honda.
Right.
I kind of wanted a 4-bedroom house instead of a 3-bedroom house.
And that's an annual payment that you're talking about. I have that times 10 every year that I'm making my payments.
It is an annual. I understand that it's also level, so it does not go up. So as your income increases and it becomes a smaller percent of your expenses, okay. That is more palatable. You know, also understand that either you or your beneficiaries or some charitable organization you designate will get that money back.
Okay.
So they'll get it back in the form of either, you know, a death benefit, God forbid, but, you know, like I said before, we all die eventually. Mm-hmm. Or the cash component is to the point where you may even have made a profit on the policy. So your premiums over 20 years might be $200,000, for example, right? 10,000 times 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, there could be $250,000 of cash value in the cash component of that policy. So, you know, the hardest part is getting folks to spend the money. And, you know, sometimes people have the money and they see what I'm trying to say and they do it. Some people have the money and are cynical about it. And you know what? Insurance companies don't have the greatest reputation, although, again, the reason for the mutual company is most of them are highly, highly rated, financial standpoint, A+, A++, etc. And then you have folks who simply can't afford it. And my advice to them is either get a smaller policy, better, you know, something is better than nothing,
right?
Or a combination. You know what? Get $900,000 in the inexpensive term to protect your family, which is what the real mission is. Mm-hmm. Get $100,000 of whole life instead of $1 million of whole life, so you still have $1 million of total coverage. And you know what? You've still got $100,000 of insurance for the rest of your life, which is still not a small amount of money.
Are some of these the cheaper policy? can I turn it into the more expensive policy if I can afford to down the line? Is it something I can change or convert?
Okay. Yes, convert, and convertibility is the phrase.
Okay.
You know, where you can convert a term policy into a permanent policy. The beauty of that is that you don't have to take a medical exam again. You have to just sign a few forms and get some forms. So obviously, you need to all of a sudden pay the new bill. But you know, if your health has declined, the insurance company is still on the hook for how they wrote the policy originally.
And interesting.
So one caveat is the mutual companies tend to have term insurance that's more expensive than the non-mutual companies, the public companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the temptation is I'm going to buy $900,000 of cheap term through one of these stock companies and $100,000 of the good whole life through the mutual company. And then when you want to convert the remaining term, maybe because there's some health issue that's forcing you to do that, you have an inferior permanent product, still better than nothing. But the advice would be, you know what, if you're going to buy the term with the intention of converting it, get the term through a mutual company, pay the extra, whatever, 5 or 6 or 10% more than an inexpensive term would cost. You're still not being hurt too bad. And then you have lots of choices.
Wow. So the bottom line is the mutual company is always going to have the better options if I want to change my policies down the road. Hmm. Okay.
And that's, again, that, you know, let's go back. That's my observation.
Right.
Based on, you know, hundreds of illustrations that I've run over time.
Right.
But I'm not, you know, I'm not advertising. I'm not soliciting. It's just, you know, my opinion, my observation.
Right. Yeah, this is what you've seen. Okay, I get it. Now, what would you tell a boomer that happens to be listening or watching this podcast sometime in the future? What would you have them get up right now and do to make a change in their life?
I would have them go to Google, you know, whole life insurance, see who is in their area and consult with maybe one or two, even three different folks, see who you can work with, because, you know, it's not just a number, it's also a relationship. This is a whole life policy, which we will have for many, many years. So make sure that you work with someone you have good chemistry with.
Oh, so in the same way that if you're looking to buy a new home, and you should meet a few realtors instead of just the first one someone recommends to you to see who you like, because you can spend a lot of time with this person as you go around making very personal choices about your life. You should be sort of interviewing insurance agents also.
You should, because you know if someone sits down with me, I'm going to show them the whole life insurance. I'm going to show them, you know, Rider A, Rider C, and Rider F, because I'm all about protecting risk. You might meet with someone else who's more all about maximizing the cash value or taking advantage of some of the tax benefits, because there are significant tax benefits.
Right.
And those don't turn me on as much as the risk protection, mm-hmm. but that might not jive with what you're interested in, because you're the customer and you're always right.
Interesting.
Meet with someone who has the same values and philosophies that you do.
And I'm assuming that I could also go to some of my other trusted advisors and probably get names of insurance agents that they work with, like my accountant or my financial advisor, something like that. My bank.
Well, absolutely. And as long as you stick with the other rules, which is buy it from a mutual company, that's fine. There are lots of very well-intentioned CPAs. Financial advisors who have never worked with a mutual company product because it's not their core business,
right?
And you know haven't seen the advantages that I'm talking about as far as cash value and the riders and bells and whistles. So
right.
Working with your immediate circle makes a lot of sense, but don't be deterred if they don't show you something from a mutual company. Seek that person out as well.
Okay. All right. Interesting. I didn't realize, first of all, I've started to learn now, because I've known you for a few years now, that insurance can be complicated, like a lot of things that I had known nothing about. They seem very complicated to me, right? But what I didn't realize is that life insurance products, for example, because that's what we're talking about today, can be investment vehicles as well. They're not just life insurance.
Right. Well, they could be.
Right.
Investment vehicles. They could be ways to, put cash away for, a student's education. They could be a way to protect you from estate taxes. Again, in the introduction, it's like, I don't work with multimillionaires that have many of my clients, I should say most of them don't have estate tax problems. That doesn't mean that they won't change the estate tax laws
right.
10 years from now, and then all my clients will have estate tax problems. So you're right. There's a lot to know.
There's a lot of parts and pieces. So how would you like people to get in touch with you? What's the best way to get in touch with you if they want to?
I have a great website, my URL is davidbrubin.com, which davidbrubin.com. So you can read my blogs, read some of the copy on the website that relates to life insurance. And my contact information is on this awesome website.
He's alluding to his awesome website because I built his website for him. And that's why he's being so kind. So for anyone listening, don't worry if you didn't have a pencil and paper and you're driving. Don't pull over suddenly and scare the people behind you. You can always come to the podcast website, the Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast, boomersultimateguidepodcast.com, and you can look up David Rubin or you can look up life insurance on the website and you will find this particular podcast episode. And his website link to that awesome website will be in the show notes. So don't trouble yourself. Don't worry. I don't want to think that people are driving and suddenly saying, oh my God, I need a pencil.
There you go.
Yeah, you can always come back and look it up. So, David, my last question to every guest I have on the podcast is if they would like to share some sort of inspirational quote or a story or something to leave us with before we go about our day.
Well, there are lots of instances of random horrible things happening to people. And, the fact is, I'm never successful selling on fear. There's something that was posted on Facebook just the other day that said, today is a gift, tomorrow is never promised.
Right.
But more on a positive note, let's talk about life insurance as peace of mind and then not sell based on fear.
Right.
But anything can happen to anyone at any time. So
that's true. And boomers, I think, the younger generation doesn't really think about that, right? We're all immortal when we're younger. But once you hit, sometimes it's before you hit 50, you find that you had a friend, that died of cancer. We've had two friends die in their very early 50s, right? And you start to go, that's not so out of reach now. And you start to think about these things. So you're right. We don't want to be fearful, but since my intention is to live to 103, I'm not even halfway there yet.
No,
so, there's still some things.
And you'll still be covered.
That's right. I'll still be covered because David is my personal insurance agent. So, David Rubin, thank you so much for spending time with us. So we can talk life insurance. We'll come back and talk one of these other many products that we need to be worried about, which is going to be a whole nother conversation. But thank you for taking time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
I appreciate it very much. And those of you out there who are listening, this is the Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast. This is a place where I bring experts in to help us sort of walk through this quagmire of life as it changes now that we're 50 and over. And you all know that life has changed now that you're 50 or over. But we are boomers, baby, and we are ready for that challenge. So I'm here always to help you build a thriving business because that's part of what I do in my personal business. But it's not, just about business. It's about having a thriving and vibrant life as well. And that's why these other guests come in and help us do that. So until next time, take care We'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Boom, baby. That's it for now. See you next time on Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.